It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. Today, we're discussing volunteering, specifically with RSVP, and I'll tell you more about what that is in a little bit, and even more specifically, the Walking Buddies program. My guests are Paula Burnett. She is the director of the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, which is RSVP, at the University of Maine Center on Aging, and Carrie Limeburner. She's the program coordinator for RSVP. Thank you both so much for being here. I really appreciate it. This program is one of my favorites. I'm actually on your advisory council. I love it that much. So I do appreciate you talking to me about all of the things that this program can do for older adults who want to stay active or who want to help others stay active or do some of the things that you do, even with children. But so, Paula, I want to start with you. Give me a little bit of the mission and the history of the program in the service area. And you cover four counties in Maine only, correct? Penobscot, Piscataquis, Hancock, and Washington, correct?
Correct. Yep.
So give me a little history of this.
Okay, it's a pleasure to be on your show once again. And RSVP actually is a national senior service program for seniors age 55 and older. And it's been in Eastern Maine since 1972. Various host sponsors, and the UMaine Center on Aging is the host sponsor since 2003. So the UMaine Center on Aging RSVP members are age 55 and older, and as a part of our mission statement, we're saying that they invest their skills and life experiences to make a difference for generations in Eastern Maine through their volunteer service. And also a part of that is that they have a chance to improve their health outcomes by volunteering.
How many services do you, or volunteer opportunities do you provide?
Well, we're under what's called a federal work plan, so we have some targeted work plan, targeted areas, I should say, of recruitment for volunteers. Generally speaking, we're looking at one as senior wellness and health activities. Tai Chi for chronic arthritis we support with Eastern Area Agency on Aging. We've been a long-time promoter of the Bone Builders program to fight osteoporosis as an internally administered program out of the center. And then our new wellness program with the Walking Buddies, which we're about to pilot this summer as well. Two other areas are food insecurity and working with food pantries and commodity food programs in our service areas. And the other is an intergenerational program called Let's Read, Let's Grow, where we have volunteer readers who are assisting at early child care facilities and Head Starts to promote quality children's literature and sort of pique the child's imagination to love books and be imaginary. And again, it's a good intergenerational exchange that we found that's been successful for our program for many years. And there's miscellaneous ones out there too hanging, but those are the three areas sure. that we're primarily promoting.
If someone's interested in volunteering, they want to do one of these programs, what's the process to get connected with RSVP?
Well, basically, first of all, it's free. There's no fee to sign up to be a senior volunteer here. Contacting my program coordinator, Carrie Limeburner, at 262-7924 is a good place to start. And then she'll take that person through the registration process, which is relatively simple application. And as part of it, we do a national sex offender registry check, and we also follow up with a couple character references. And then we sit down and talk with the individual to see what his or her ideas around the perfect volunteer experience is to match their time, their seasonality to volunteering, and what they really want to take on, so that we're getting people that are doing pretty much just what they want within the time frame of their busy senior baby boomer days.
Is there any criteria that someone would have to do one of your programs, for instance, a retired teacher to do the child reading program, or someone who's really fit to do Bone Builders or something like that?
There's no specific volunteer requirement to be an RSVP other than meeting the age requirement and obviously passing the background checks. For the reading program, we may have a further background check done by the actual site. That might be the placement site for the volunteer, so there might be additional around that. But there's nothing around in terms of their education, or they have to be a retired teacher or a librarian or whatever. We don't do that. Although with Bone Builders, we do. We try to attract people who have at least had some leadership, some sort of teaching background, or they like to lead and be in control. for some of us out there that are baby boomers, we do have a little bit of control issues. So
yeah.
here's a chance to exercise and exercise that little characteristic that actually has made a strong difference in why we can continue to offer Bone Builders. We've had fabulous lay leaders, as we refer to them.
What's the training that's provided, and do all of your programs have a training?
The ones that are working with food pantries and commodity foods, that's all outside the Center on Aging in terms of training. That's whatever the agency requires. Bone Builders, we have we try to get people who have been participants in classes to come up through the ranks, and then they would participate in a six-hour small or large group training to get officially on board. The reading volunteers and the walking buddy volunteers will have times with a training time with the a manual that Carrie will go over with them before they start. Most of our reading volunteers, however, can go right through that manual easy peasy. Been fortunate to attract a lot of people that just really have missed having grandchildren present and have been saving all these books and things that they want to share with young children once again, and they're very motivated to get through the quick training manual.
Has COVID-19 restricted any of the things that you do, or how much of a restriction have you faced?
Across the board, RSVP programs have witnessed a lot of decline in membership, but not necessarily members we're losing permanently. It's like the whole nation is doing. It's like a wait and see as to whether we return. Our commodity foods pantry people are being more robust. Most of them are able to be outside or have access to, you know, fresh air and their delivery of items. Bone Builder sites have gradually, since June, been coming back on board at classroom sites. The walking program is, to me, our COVID pivot program, because it's primarily easy to do outside, or if we did walking trails and so on, as we'll talk a little later. The reading program has really been hurt by COVID because of the schools and child care centers needing to reduce the number of physically present people and just take care of all the needs of the kids around masking and whatnot. And many of the sites are letting us know that in the fall they're going to be looking at, of course, if seniors are vaccinated and agreeing to practice the COVID protocols laid down by schools and Head Starts and so forth. It's all an experiment again. It's like starting all over.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? Do you require your volunteers to be vaccinated?
I cannot do that. it's up to the site where the volunteer is going to for them to decide what their COVID protection protocols are.
And I have one more question. We're going to break shortly, but what is the time commitment? You had said earlier that it's on someone's own time, and I do know that sometimes people are discouraged from volunteering. They're nervous because they feel like once they get their name in there, they're going to be called all the time. So how does that work with you? I know you're very respectful of people's lives and their time.
Well, a reading volunteer, for instance, probably the minimum is like a half an hour a week, half an hour to an hour, including some prep time if they are putting together any creative elements to help get the story and promote the concept of the book to the child. So that's the bare minimum. For bone builders, it would be they have twice weekly classes for about an hour and a half, including a little bit of prep there. And we're looking at some, for the walking buddies, doing some things over a course of 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks. And then you can take time off and maybe do it another 6 to 8 weeks down the road or however. Pantry people or food delivery people are often once a month to twice a month.
So it really varies pretty widely.
It does. It does. And that flexibility for senior volunteers, because as you and I both know, volunteers typically are volunteering in a lot of other capacities, or they've got a lot on their plate as caregivers and whatnot. So they like things that are not going to overstress them. And we try to make sure that we even have subs for our lay leaders and bone builders, so those classes can go on whether or not a particular lay leader cannot make it that week. So we work at it.
Yeah. Well, there is something for everyone. We are going to break. When we come back, as promised, we are going to talk about this new program, Walking Buddies. So stay with us. There is much more to come. If you want more information, you can call Paula at 207 or call Carrie at 207-262-7924. 262-7924. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Hi, we're back discussing the RSVP volunteer program. And we're getting into the new program, Walking Buddies. Paula, this is a pilot program, just started. Tell me why Walking Buddies and what it means.
Well, actually, a couple of years ago, even pre-COVID, I've been trying to explore taking on another senior wellness program that volunteers might be interested in participating in, something that had a good sort of evidence-based, we know walking is just full of all kinds of benefits for everybody, and we just don't do enough of it as a very sitting society. So in exploring some of the different programming out there, including the Arthritis Foundation, they have a program called Walk with Ease, and we've sort of balanced ours off a little bit from that and made it more of our own to try to pair up people who love walking, who maybe want to encourage and support those to find walking as an attractive, fun exercise to get some folks off their feet and moving. And it hit me one day in my own neighborhood where there was a woman who was involved with a walker after recovering from hip surgery, who didn't like going around the little cul-de-sac where I live all by herself with the walker. She was still unsteady and an older woman, over 70. And so we just got in this little habit of going around the circle together. I slowed down for her, no speed walking, circles around her, make her feel awkward. But she was able to cast the walker aside, and we just kept building. And I thought, this is something that there's more need for. And with COVID, it seemed like the perfect sort of pivot for our program to take some bone builder lay leaders that maybe weren't able to participate inside in classes and see what they thought. And we had some good feedback from some of them as well. So we put together a training manual and did some research around this, and now we're marketing as far as we can to sort of in our service area get this started. And we have a lot of support. I just heard from the Bucksport Area Senior Center today. Their director is very much in favor of this, and places that have trails nearby are looking at some things along that line. Spread the word to the vet center. We, in essence, want to get people who maybe just are in recovery from cancer, hip surgeries, knee surgeries, people who have maybe haven't had a chance to really even deal with their own sort of depression, shall we say. We know that getting outdoors in the fresh air and moving any part of your body rhythmically is a way of fighting depression and, of course, the social engagement piece. So for a lot of older people walking in their neighborhoods alone, they don't often feel safe, so we consider this a safety walking situation. We're fortunate to live in Maine, where there's just so many options for outdoor walking, as well as even walking on school tracks, nice, cushy school tracks, hint, hint, hint.
And, they are they are really nice, aren't they? They're much softer than walking on pavement.
Exactly. And then, of course, there's some tracks, and, local Y's, indoor tracks, malls, and so forth. So Carrie would be the one to bring on a new volunteer that wanted to do something like this, and also would be tracking those folks that would like to get on a waiting list to be placed with a walking buddy.
So do you... before we go to break, do people call you to volunteer to be a walking buddy, and then other people call you to try to get a walking buddy, and then you match them up based on their interests and abilities?
Right. And we also, like our Bone Builders program, for anyone that's a participant, we always require a medical clearance. And it doesn't involve anything HIPAA. It's just going to your doctor or a nurse practitioner and having them sign yes or no that you can take this particular activity on. And that sheet would have a list of all what Walking Buddies is about, who's it's for, who it is not for, that kind of thing. And
I'm going to stop you. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop you right there because we're going to go to break, and we'll come back, and I will let you finish that thought when we get back. Stay with us. There's lots more to come with RSVP. Hi, we're back with RSVP talking about the Walking Buddy program. Paula, I'm so sorry I did cut you off to go to break. When we left, you were discussing, really sorry, the criteria of someone becoming a walking buddy or getting a walking buddy. So you want to finish that thought?
Again, if you want to be a walking buddy volunteer, you need to be at least age 55. And we do require for both walking buddies and their companion, participant, to also have a medical clearance. And that simply is a yes or no from your doctor that they are able to participate.
Is there any criteria for the volunteers, so like CPR or something, that if they are on a trail or any minor first aid, if they are on a trail and they're the person that they're walking with falls or passes out, is there something that they can do? Do you require any of that, a little bit additional training?
That's something we're contemplating. We wanted to sort of pilot the program before we took it any further with training requirements.
I don't want to scare anybody.
Part of our training is certainly the minute you think anybody is having any issues, you immediately call 911. We make sure that the volunteer has a phone that they know they is batteried up. so that they can handle that situation. We also don't want people meeting at individuals' homes. We want them to meet someplace publicly or openly public. There's no engagement going in anyone's home or driving a participant to a site. So that's another sort of protection that's built into this as well.
Well, it's nice to actually walk where there are other people around in case something does happen. There's more than one person responsible. Carrie, I want to get you in here. Sometimes making that first call can be intimidating. What happens if someone's listening and they decide that they kind of want to walk around and help seniors become more mobile and they give you a call at 262-7924? What's the first thing you do?
Well, actually, I would do the same for any volunteer anybody that's calling. It's a process. So whether it be for the Walking Buddies program or any of the other programs that we offer, I always take that call and talk about, you know, first of all, how did they hear about us? What were they looking at? Was it an opportunity specifically that they were interested in? And if so, if it was like the Walking Buddies, that's exactly what I would do. I would go through the steps with them to find out, you know, just what it is that they are interested in. And then I meet with them one-on-one and go over the registration process as a whole, doing background checks and all of that. Then that gives me the opportunity to really talk about Walking Buddies one-on-one with them or any of the other opportunities that are available. So it's usually a great dialogue that we have initially. That we are, you know, able to kind of get all of that information, then meet with them one-on-one. So it's exciting.
How do you pair up the volunteers with the people who want the Walking Buddy?
Specifically the Walking Buddies?
Right. Where, so do you do it per interest or location?
I guess I'm not sure what you're asking. Paula, you can
so
hop in
you
there.
Got... How do you pair up you couple up your volunteer with the person who wants someone to walk with?
Well, what we're looking for possible participants is to put together sort of a pool of participants interested in having the buddy and then looking at obviously geographically. So if say somebody at a housing authority in Brewer is interested in getting, say they're recovering from cancer and they want to get back in shape, we'll try to find somebody in the Brewer area, a Brewer volunteer. So
again, this is a pilot project, and we're just starting to roll this out now, Carol. So really haven't had that opportunity to talk specifically about this volunteer opportunity as of yet.
Well, I'm so happy that we are able to do this today. And it sounds wonderful. I want to get this information out before we finish up. The website is Maine, spelled out, mainecenteronaging.umaine.edu. That'll take you right to RSVP. Phone number 262-7924, 262-7924. We are sadly out of time, ladies. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
Great
you.
Information. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk.